In 1931, Louis Leakey went to East Africa on an archaeological dig to the Oldupai Gorge in modern-day Tanzania. The British Museum helped sponsor this dig, and from it he came back with something pretty amazing. To a passing eye, it looks like an unremarkable rock, and you can look it up on the internet. But on closer inspection, the rock reveals a sharp edge, one that's been created by a series of very precise blows from another rock. It's in fact a stone chopping tool, one of the earliest examples of tool making from a species out of which we would evolve. At 1.8 million years old, it's the oldest item in the British Museum. In the fantastic podcast, A History of the World in 100 Objects, has anyone listened to this before? Tim. Always Tim. It's pretty good, hey? Yeah. Though perhaps the history of humanity would be a more accurate title. But in this podcast, this object is held up with a question that's asked again and again through the series. What does it mean to be human? The hosts, Neil McGregor, and guest for this episode, David Attenborough, both hold the object and marvel at it. It fits perfectly into the hand. Its weight gives it extra power. And the sharp end runs in a perfect line from the wrist to the forefinger, allowing all sorts of functionality to it. It could be used to cut meat. It could be used to break bones for marrow. It could be used to strip bark off of wood, off of a tree. You name it. Looking at the tool, McGregor reflects that our humanity doesn't come simply from the ability to make tools. He says many animals can do that. We can think of lots of examples of that. But rather, he wonders if our ability, or if our humanity comes from the ability to make tools when we don't need them, and to save them should we need them for later. Our uniqueness is defined by our ability to imagine a need and a tool that could fill that need, to plan ahead in this way. This provides an interesting take on humanity being made in the image of God. Is God's defining feature not the ability to create, but rather the imagination out of which creation is born and constantly reborn? Attenborough, looking at the cutting tool, takes this a step further, where only a couple of strikes with another rock would have been fine for a sufficient cutting edge. He wonders why the edge would have been made with many more strikes, 9 total, 5 on one side and 4 on the other, giving a full, long, sharp edge. Attenborough wonders if the maker was able to look at this tool, see 2 strikes, and then decide to make it better. Perhaps take some sort of satisfaction when the maker looks at this tool and sees the much longer cutting edge. In this sense, humanity is not just defined by the ability to craft tools, but by the ability to imagine how they might be made more than sufficient, to add more complexity than is necessary to be functional. Attenborough wonders if humanity is defined by its ability to look at something and to imagine how it could be made better. And so we come to Mary. Mary, whose song, the Magnificat, serves as the third part of our Advent dialogue. If the first Sunday of Advent was our cries and the second was God's promise in response to those cries, then this third Sunday is our delighting in that promise. And so Mary delights. Mary delights in something unseen and unknown. Nothing tangible beyond the depths of her heart and her mind. And therein lies Mary's hope and the hope of Advent. Mary, in this song, is committing fully to her humanity and the image of God within her. As she sings this song of imagining a better world, she's embodying what it means to be human. She has no reason to believe that this will happen. It certainly hasn't up to this point in history, the idea that the powerful will be brought low and the lowly will be raised up. Truthfully, she has every reason to fear that what will happen to her, unwed and pregnant. But still she sings, still she praises, and still she delights. This isn't about blindly assuming things will get better. It's about the ability to be human, to strive, to long for, to envision, and to imagine a better world. A world where love will be born into it, as she has been promised it will be born from her very self. And it's about celebrating that. For those who've already read the Christmas letter or who came to Theology on Tap last week, this is going to sound a bit redundant, but it's good to hear things multiple times. I'll choose a different quote from Vaclav Havel, former president of Czechoslovakia, than the one that's in your Christmas letter. Hope is a state of mind, not of the world. Hope, in this deep and powerful sense, is not the same as joy that things are going well or willingness to invest in enterprises that are obviously heading for success, but rather an ability to work for something because it is good. This is the hope of Advent. This is the hope of Mary, and this is the hope that we are invited into through the fullness of our humanity. The ability to envision a better world. This is the basis of all hope. And it's woven into our very being as human beings. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.